Hi, and welcome to Film Forums. I'm Richard Williams, creator of this platform, a place dedicated to the filmmaking community. We interview members of the film industry to find out what it really takes to make a movie, bring a script to screen, or secure that acting role. If that sounds good to you, please subscribe to us on YouTube and follow us on your favourite podcasting platform. Thank you.
Hi there, welcome to Film Forums. My name is Aisha Jbeli and I have with me a special guest today. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Hi, my name is Isham Haji. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. Can you tell us about your background and how you got into filmmaking?
My background, I've started 15 years ago as a PA and then climbed the stairs a little bit as a second AD, then first AD. I worked in Morocco mainly on international feature films and TV commercials. And after doing, you know, many productions as an AD, I decided to jump on the production side and be a line producer. And after line producing and production servicing many movies and TV show and TV commercials in Morocco, I decided to create my own project. I decided to make the big move and go to LA and you know, create my own project, because I always felt myself a little bit creative. So I wrote some short films in Morocco back in the time. So I felt that I wanted to tell more stories and here I am.
Fantastic. So you were talking about line production there. Can you maybe tell us a little bit more about what that involves? Because I think it's often quite a misunderstood role, you know, in indie films and things like that's crucial. Can you tell us a bit more about what you did during those kind of jobs?
Yeah, of course. I mean, basically, line producing is a step beyond the producer. And we read the script. We take care of, you know, budgeting everything what's in the script. And once on set, once in the preparation and on set, we make sure that everyone we budgeted is there and that we don't go over budget. And, you know, it's a little bit beyond of production managing and between the production managing and the producing. Basically, we make sure that the movie happens with the money we have.
Fantastic. Well, I guess that must have been really important when you came to make your own film.
Definitely.
Handling a budget is obviously a really big deal for a new producer or director. Do you think that really strengthened your position in terms of making your first film?
Listen, I've been managing, you know, budgets before. So that part was quite easy. The most complicated thing was to raise that money, because it's the first time I raised money to make a movie. Because in the other times, you know, you get a phone call from a producer, say, hey, I love what you do. We want to shoot in Morocco. We have this kind of amount of money. Can you make the shoot happen? And say, yeah, I mean, it's very easy when you have the money already. The most complicated part is to go and, you know, convince investors, convince distributors, convince a lot of bunch of people to give you enough money to make your movie happen.
Yeah. So how did you do that? I think you're absolutely right. It's obviously like the, you know, it's the mystical unicorn to indie filmmakers is how to get a budget, I think, initially. So how did you go about it? What was your plan in terms of approaching people and how you met people?
Well, the plan was, in the beginning, it seems kind of simple. You say, okay, I'm going to contact those people, I'm going to send them the script and I'm going to tell them who I want as an actor, and probably they will love the script and will follow. But we have been doing this for quite long. I mean, the process of going after people was quite long, because most of the time either they don't like the script or the script was not ready, and we, you know, we've scripted, been in the writing process for quite a long time. And at the end of the day, you know, when people were starting to become interested, they asked me to come with a package, means they wanted some actor attached. You know, you cannot just come and invest on a movie based on the script, even if the script is really good. If your name is not known, I mean, if you're Christopher Nolan, you come with a script, everyone wants to invest. But when you're a nobody film director or first-time film director, you need a little bit more than that. So the approach was, you know, quite personal. So I've invested everything that I had. I mean, I've been working for 15 years, and all my saving, I put them in the movie to try to attach the first actor. And then I was in the process of having an actor. I showed the email to my investors and everything. So I told them, okay, we trust me, we're having this kind of actors. And then, you know, people started to become enthusiasts. So I raised some funds privately mainly. And, you know, I got Voltage Pictures attached when they read the script and, you know, so that I could have some interesting names. And they took care of the international sales. So they, you know, they were selling the movie, pre-selling the movie almost everywhere. And that gives confidence to my investors because they knew that we will be selling this kind of amount of money. That means they will get their money back. It was a very difficult financing structure. And I mean, it was a little bit of financing nightmare as a filmmaker. But at the end, we've made it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the fact that you put your own money in as well, I think kind of adds a bit more confidence to if you're willing to take that risk. So you talked a lot about, you know, working in Morocco. My father is actually from Tunisia, not too far from me. So how was it in terms of filming there and the difference between that and making the move to LA?
Listen, I've been working with a lot of productions in Morocco. I've done The Werner Herzog, Queen of the Desert with Nicole Kidman. I've done a lot of other movies. So shooting in Morocco I grew up in Morocco. I'm Moroccan and I've been doing this my entire life. So when I wrote the script, I was, writing the scenes knowing that I'm going to shoot them in Morocco. So that was actually the easiest part. In the movie, we have around 25% or 30% of the movie happening in New York and Washington. We shot New York and Washington in Morocco, some of it in studios and some of it in houses that exist in Casablanca, for example. So the only thing we shot in America is the wide shots, the drone shots and the establishing shots. Everything else was shot in Morocco, because if we had to come in LA, in New York and shoot the movie in New York, it's a different budget. It's an independent movie. We had the very, very little money to make it happen. We have to check what's the most effective solutions and the most effective situations were to shoot the movie.
Yeah, I mean, Morocco is a beautiful place to shoot anything anyway. I think it's the reason that it's so popular for so many big blockbusters as well, for shooting on location. It's definitely a very beautiful country, as is Tunisia and the whole of North Africa, in my opinion.
Definitely. I've shot in Tunisia also. It's beautiful. I love the Tunisian people.
Okay, cool. I'll take that. I love North Africa. So in terms of your story and your script development, what was your approach to that?
So the script, I had the idea to write a script. Actually, I have a high school friend of mine who lost his sister in a terrorist attack in Morocco. She was in Burkina Faso in Africa. She was a photographer and she had a mission assigned by Amnesty International. So she was just there at the lobby having a beer with the crew. And all of a sudden, there is this group of people who came in and start to shoot everyone. And when this happened, I mean, it shocked me a little bit because you don't used to see your friends killed by terrorists in our part of the world. And I decided to write a story, to write a movie and explaining, it's like a little bit making the difference between Islamist and Islam and show that Muslims are not terrorists. And also, make it in the most, in a great way where, around a love story, around some action, and explain a little bit to the international audience that, we could be from this area, but we're not those people. We could be religious, but we're not those people. And at the end, it was quite political, I've been talking about the political aspect of the area, the problem between Morocco and Algeria, the Sahara, CIA, US government, and it's not everyone that what we think it is.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. I think it's a very serious issue that you're bringing to life in a cinematic way, but it is still very real in the sense that, those things are happening in North Africa now. It was less common before. I mean, I remember before the Tunisian Revolution, for example, there was never any mention or even news of that type of thing happening. And then obviously those shootouts happened in Tunisia as well. And I visited not long after the revolution, and I got caught in like the crossfire between the military and some rebels or whatever. And it was actually in like central Tunis, you wouldn't expect that, in such a busy place, but there was tear gas bombs and shooting and everything. And I basically just ran into a taxi phone and just took cover. But it was really scary because I'd never seen that side of of Tunisia before, you know. So I'm glad that there are more films coming out that are kind of bringing that to light, you know, the political aspects that are obviously having a huge impact in the area.
Well, you know what, the what I explain also is that those people, most of the time, they don't come from our region. You know, all those terrorists, they come from Europe, they come from France, from Belgium. If you've seen what happened in France the last 10 years, this is what, you know, they had, I'm going to say a fake number, but it's around 50% of what happened in the world, just in Europe, just in France and Belgium. So in my movie, those people speak French. So I want to show that they are not from our part of the world. They come from I don't know where, because they are financed by I don't know who. And, you know, and they don't know anything about the religion or anything else. They don't even speak Arabic.
Yeah.
So I really wanted to show this part of, you know, the story.
Yeah, no, totally. You're absolutely right. And in terms of the action and things, obviously, that was very well done. Can you talk to us a little bit about how you planned that out? Because obviously that's quite, you know, every set of stunts can have dangers and things like that. So how did you handle those types of risks just from a production point of view?
Listen, we had, you know, we were fortunate to have two experienced fight coordinator and stunt coordinator. So the stunt coordinator, I've been working with him for the past 10 years in a lot of productions. And he knew exactly what he was doing, you know, the cherry picker, the cables, the crew, all those people for this jumping and everything. And the fight coordinator is, he's been training a lot of people in Krav Maga, and he knew his choreography. So I had the chance to have the actors 2 weeks before the shoot just to train. And we had the location also ready and set up. So we, you know, we had this deambulation where you see the actors go in from this point of the story, get the woman from there and go out. I mean, because in the normal world, if you have just to cross and go from point A to point B, it's 30 seconds. But we needed to have a lot of action and to show a lot of movement when they get in, when they get shot at. We had to create a real choreography to make that, you know, spectacular. And with little money we had at the time.
So you were talking about, you know, it being a smaller budget. What were the ways that you made your money go further? Because again, I think that's something that indie filmmakers really struggle with, is how to really stretch out their money. You mentioned one thing being that it was cheaper for you to film on location in Morocco than it was for you to film in the US. Were there any other decisions that you took in order to save or to stretch the budget further?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, when you start as a first-time director, you know, to be honest with you, we first were thinking to make it with, you know, smaller actors. But once you get an actor, you're so happy, you're so enthusiastic, and the casting director and the agent propose other actors and say, oh, wow, I cannot not have this one. If he wants to work with me, I want to work with him. And then actually what we did, it was the opposite. So we were going with a smaller budget. But when you have Andy Garcia, you cannot say no. And you just say, okay, I'm going to manage to, you know, find the money somewhere. And then you go to your friends and investors and everyone and say, I have Andy Garcia and, you know, this is the budget and we can make it back very easily. So people are enthusiastic and invest. But the production part, we had to compact everything so we can be able to have these actors. You know what I mean? Because I would have loved to spend more in production and have more time to shoot and have, you know, more explosions, more gunshots, more chase. But unfortunately, we had a very small amount of money to make all that happen. So we had to compact the shoot. We had two cameras all the times. We were shooting almost two units, two cameras all the times. So instead of shooting, for example, for 10 weeks, we shot on 5 weeks only. What else we did? I mean, you know, I used some locations from my friends' houses. The desert, when you go to the desert, it's the desert. So we shot a lot in the desert. We did some building. We built some, like, for example, the boxing scene. We built all the boxing stage. And, you know, we had to, as a producer, that was actually the easiest part because I knew how to compact and make everything cost efficient.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's the value of having that line production experience and knowing, already having all of those connections in place so that you can stretch your budget further and those little tricks and things like that you can do to
exactly.
make your money really work for you, you know. And I think a lot of first-time directors or even first-time producers, if they don't have that experience of handling a budget and making a business plan for their film, then they might struggle. They might, you know, get to post-production, for example, and realize that they don't have any money for the rest of it.
Exactly. Yeah, definitely. And also the experience of being, a former first assistant director was really helpful, because I could compact the schedule, and, you know, I knew that this scene will need only 3 hours and this one need maybe 2 days. So I was really confident that I would finish the movie in 5 weeks with two cameras.
Yeah. So did you go to film school, or did you come up entirely from experience?
To be honest with you, I've done a film school in Canada when I was 21. You know, it was just a year and a half. We learned the basics. But to be honest, I felt that my film school was the first movie I worked on when I was a trainee.
So you were saying about how your experience as a first AD also helped to prepare you for this filmmaking journey.
Definitely. I mean, being a first AD, when you work as a first AD, you know every aspect of a film set, you know the schedule, you know how to manage the actors, you know, I mean, you know almost everything on set. I mean, so it was definitely helpful to compact the movie and be able to shoot it in 5 weeks, that for one, and also to do a proper schedule and proper breakdown. You use only what you need, and there's no spend of money on anything that we don't really need.
Yeah. And when you were talking about your cast as well, obviously you were very happy and proud of the cast that you managed to get. Totally understand, amazing cast in this one. How did you go about finding them? Did you contact casting directors yourself and have them take care of it, or did you deal with the agents directly?
No, I contacted the cast. I've been introduced to a casting directors by a dear friend of mine, and so casting director was Nancy Foy. And Nancy was, you know, when I met her the first time, it was a year before we really started the process of getting the actors. So I met her the first time. I sent her the script, and she was not really, she liked the story, but she didn't feel that the script could go with the actors I wanted. So at a certain point, you know, I was working on the script again, and I contacted her between 8 months or I think a year later, and I sent her the script, and she really enjoyed reading it. She felt the difference, and she felt that we arrived to this level that she wanted from a script. And then, you know, we've been talking almost the whole year, and I was telling her about my project and about my vision to the movie and everything. And at the end, she really believed that we could get some of the good actors I wanted. And she took care of the process of contacting the agent. I mean, she's really well known. She knows the agents, you know, everyone, and she's almost backed me in front of them, because nobody knew me at that time. You see, who is Hisham? What has he done before? He was a line producer in Morocco, but he never produced. Would he be able to do all the process with the actors from the signature to the delivery? And she really backed me up with the agent. So she was really helpful in the process.
Yeah, it's really important to make those strong connections early on, I feel.
Definitely.
So finally, in terms of distribution, because obviously now your film is going to be available. So first of all, you can tell us where people can see it and when they can see it, for example, in the different regions, if you know those. And also, how did you go about actually getting the distribution? Did you have a sales agent?
That was also one of the biggest challenges, to go to this sales agent or distributors who tell them, hey, you don't know me, but I have something nice and I'm sure I can make it look nice. Because, you know, a lot of people contact you. Even me as a producer, I get contacted with a lot of people say, hey, we have this great project. And you start to read the two first pages and you know it's not a great project. So you have to filter. I mean, somebody has to filter the projects like the agents do with the actors. Because if we had to contact every actor and say, hey, I have this project, he will get millions of scripts in one day. So I went to I contacted Voltage Pictures to produce or co-produce or sell my movie in the beginning, but the script was not that good at that time. And when I really felt that the script was in a good position and I was going to make offers to the actors, and you know, we had the good feedbacks from the actors, so they got attached to the project. And to be honest, they are the one who did everything, like sailing internationally, contacting Saban for the US distribution, I mean, they've been doing a great job. And I think that's necessary for because as a filmmaker, you cannot produce, write, direct and do everything and still look at the distributors. If you're nobody, I mean, or first time director, they will not take you seriously. So you really need to go to someone who knows what he's doing and convince him and let him go. Manage the rest of the process, distribution process, which is the most important.
Yeah, I think that the biggest, one of the biggest areas anyway that filmmakers can fall down after the post-production is distribution and marketing. You put so much effort, blood, sweat and tears into making a film. And then if you don't invest in those areas and let someone take care of it that knows what they're doing, then your film doesn't really get seen, you know. So I think it's really important that you took that step to make sure that you connected with the right people who could handle that for you. I think that's definitely, for me anyway, it's one of the saddest things when you're involved, you know, in independent film and then you don't see it come out properly, if you know what I mean. So I'm always so...
No, definitely. I mean, the point is not to show it to your family and post it on Facebook. The point is to, the point is to make it actually released and distribute as wide as possible. Yeah. And only a distributor can do that.
Yeah. So what type of distribution were you able to get for this film?
Listen, I think we're almost about to sign with every country. We have, I mean, it's going to be distributed in Russia. I just saw the trailer in Russian language. It was very funny because I saw for the first time my actors talking with in another language. And I think we're going pretty wild. I mean, it's going to be worldwide. We have the US distribution, the US release on January 8th in selected theaters and January 12th on VODs and a lot of platforms, Apple, Amazon, I mean, everywhere, almost everywhere. You know, I don't have the dates in for the Europe release, but I guess it's going to be in spring, early in spring. But like for, I mean, there's, you know, we sold the rights to a lot of countries and they manage their own dates. I don't have all the information, but it sure is going to be between now and the spring.
Okay. Fantastic. Well, well done on your film. It's obviously a great success and we look forward to it coming out and we will be promoting you. If you're doing anything else as well, you can always hit us up and let us know. We're always happy to continue to promote anyone who's involved in the show. We really appreciate your time and coming on. So thank you very much for that.
Thank you for having me. Thanks for your interest.
Thanks for listening. Please subscribe to us on YouTube and follow us on your favourite podcasting platform. Visit film-forums.com for more.